God really does know what he's doing because everything fits perfectly well. I'm going to read from Scripture. So I've done this a few times this morning. I felt led. I know you've just sat down, but would you stand while I read from Scripture? Would that be all right? Mark 12, verse 28, reading from the New King James. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he, Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no one but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Blessed be the reading of his word. You may sit down. We here at Solihull Christian Fellowship are here because we have had an encounter with a man who could tell us everything we ever did. We've heard his story, listened to his teachings, and something within our spirit said yes. And in fact, the song, one of the songs that we sang, just sums it up. The majority of us are here this morning because of this. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Christ the Son. We believe in his Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. We believe in the resurrection, that he will rise again. For we believe in the name of Jesus. We believe in eternal life. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the saints' communion and in his holy church. We believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again, for we believe in the name of Jesus. That's what we believe here at Solihull Christian Fellowship. And for the majority of us this morning, I'm sure we're here because something said yes in our spirit. Something said yes. We heard, we witnessed, we experienced this man called Jesus. And something went yes, and we agreed, and we've come into a relationship with him. We began to realize that we needed him, that he was the only answer, the only way to Father, and the only one who was able to pay the debt for our sin. Sin, something not often spoke of anymore, other than if it is towards those that have yet to find Christ. The sin nature that was passed down through the male line because of the purposeful, disobedient act that changed the course of human history. While the course may have changed, the destination did not. While the plans might have changed, God's purpose did not. But sin needed a payment, and we must never forget that. No matter how innocent all of our children are when they are born, as they grow, they need Christ in their lives. They need the debt of their sin paid. That is what Christ did, and in doing so, he took us from our default destination, that word that we don't like to mention, and put us back on track, created the route, laid down the plan that we would see God's same purpose fulfilled here on earth. As a result of one man's righteous act, it completely blotted out one man's offensive act. This temporary body that died as soon as the apple was eaten, this temporary body that now begins to decay from the moment that we are born, this temporal body that dies gives way to our eternal spirit that now lives in unity with Christ forever and ever. Amen. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in him. And that's what we are talking about when we come here and we fellowship together. We want to work out our life with Christ. We want to love him with everything we possibly can. We want to love him with all that we've got. We want to lay our lives down. It's a journey. So we make no apology. when we preach from the Bible. We make no apology if it's not your buzz topic or your buzzword or what's going on in society. The greatest commandment of all is to love God with everything. So this sets the scene. So here we are with the scene set. We have read the question posed to Christ our Lord. What is the first? Do you know that word in the Greek is first in rank, in order. First as the most important commandment of all. And Christ's response was, love the Lord. And in doing so, it will show up in how you love others and in how you love yourself. But to simply love was not enough in our human understanding of love. Here in Mark, we get the full breadth and depth of what Christ is asking. With your whole heart, your passion, your desire, your longing should be for him. With all your soul, your character, your identity, who you are. With all your mind, your intellect, your reasoning, your logic, your ideas, with all your strength, your energy and your effort. It's everything. He really is the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, take all of me. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you are, that you know that you are not disqualified. So here we have it at the beginning of a new year. Perhaps many of you, like Claire and I did, talked about what we wanted for the year. We made plans, we set goals, we structured time. What is our holiday destination? What do we want to aim for? What hobbies should I start? What is going on at work? What is my next step? How do I get work-life balance right? Who am I spending my time with? How are we, husband and wife, growing together? What do we want out of our children? All these things, thoughts, plans, destinies, purposes. But what about God? Those things that I've listed are not unusual, whether you've got a relationship with God or not. We call them New Year's resolutions, plans, thoughts. It's the beginning of something new, so we wonder what the year will bring, even though the Bible tells us just worry about tomorrow. But what about God? Aren't we Christians? Aren't we those who are choosing to follow Jesus? Do you know, we were rightly told to think before we stood about laying our life down. The Bible tells us what man before going to war, what king before going to war doesn't consider. Does he have enough, a big enough army? Does he have enough resources to go out? Otherwise, when he's halfway there, he'll have to go for treaties of peace. We should consider because it's big. It's not that God demands, but what Christ did, the only response is the demand for our all. Love God with everything. Do we consider, do we talk about, ponder, ask or seek? Where are we in God? Lord, for me, not anyone else, but for me, how can I become more like you today? Tomorrow, this week, this year. Do we have those thoughts? Do we have those conversations? Or are they only full of what holidays we want to go on, which is great? What plans we have, what hobbies to start, where we're placing our time. Lord, have you got all of me? Lord, am I loving you with every part of me? In the light of Jesus' statement that the first, ranked in order of weight and importance, is to love God with all I have, how am I doing? 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourselves. Take stock. Life runs so quick. It runs at such a pace. We are bombarded 24/7. We are plugged in, never than before. And this isn't a sermon against the changing technology. It's not about that. But we're bombarded with other people's thoughts. We are told what to think. We need to stop and say, Lord, Father, Lord, what more can I give of you? What am I holding back? What places do I not want to go? Do I not want to talk about? Because it's too difficult, too painful, or I'm just happy with that the way that I am. In the light of Jesus' statements, to love God with all I have, how am I doing in that? Do I know? Have I assessed? Should I be thinking about it as a follower of Jesus Christ? The representation of Christ in me should look like something, shouldn't it? This is part 9, and I'm going to stop at 10. Otherwise, my friend David will start saying, "Hey, hey." Christianity should look like something. Christ within me should look like something. The inward transition of what's gone on this morning, today, not something when you were perhaps first born again. Let's talk about what God did in our midst just 10 minutes ago on the inside of us, where we rose and said, "Take all of me," has got to find its way out into an everyday world that says, "I look different." Now, before we shout, it's not of works, it's not about performance. I could not agree more. This is not about you standing before us all giving a detailed account of how well you're doing as a Christian for us to then sit and judge whether or not we think it's true. No. But the Bible tells us, examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. So what does it look like? Matthew 12, was it 29? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Do you want God to take all of you? All of you, not all of you, all of you. Then this talks about idols. Isaiah 45, "I am the Lord and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you though you have not known me." There is no other God. There is no other God. There is only one God. So do you want God to take all of you? What idols do you carry in your life? What has captured your heart? Isaiah 42:8, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carven images." In our societies, it will be rare that we carve an image to sit and worship at. More likely, it will be an electronic one. Psalm 81:9, "There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god." But here's the point, isn't it? Do you serve a foreign god? And I didn't do slides. I freed myself from the need for slides this morning. But I want you to think about this, and it must be God because they all start with the same letter. Do you serve a foreign god? Does a possession, a person, or a practice hold more than God does over your life? If so, then part of giving all of you is to lay that down. And God's jealous, he won't share. So if it has equal standing, God says, "Hey, no, let that take first place." Do you serve a foreign god? Does a possession, a person, or a practice hold more than God does over your life? If yes, then you need to change it, because the greatest commandment is to have one Lord. Who is your Lord? Who is it? Take stock. Sit back. Is spending your Lord? Is getting the new gadget your Lord? I've got to watch that. I love my gadgets. But it needs to sit in the right place as to who God is. Will I wait before I buy that next thing? Or will I do whatever it takes to get it now? That's a challenge I'm working through. How will you know? By taking stock. By examining yourself. We make plans this year to do all sorts of things. We make plans for the week, for the month. We look, where are we before we get paid? What can we do next? What about in the things of God? Lord, has anything crept in that takes your place in my life? Because God is a gentleman. We've heard that. If any of you have grown up in church and in a Christian family, my mom would always tell me, "Ben, God is a gentleman. And the minute you want something in place of God, he says, that's fine. That's fine." He gave them over to a debased mind. Why love the Lord? Why love? 1 John 4:8, love does not know God, for God is love. There wasn't anything else. There wasn't anything else. It can only ever be to love. We have a God that does not give love, who is love. Who is love. And the one that does not love does not know God. This is huge. Jesus here outlines the greatest, first, highest rank, most important commandment. Not a suggestion, but a commandment that followers of Jesus should seek after. To love God. To love God for all it means. For its fluffiness, its soppiness, whatever you want to call it, but don't downplay it. So what does that loving God mean? Agape. To totally give ourselves over to something. I think this follows on from not having a foreign God. You see, you can't completely give your life to God if actually you're serving something else. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. That's where you've got to start. When you start with that, now you can love God with everything you have. While we can run away from things taking hold of our lives, we need to run towards something. The best way to keep from something is not to run away from it, but to run towards something else. It's not running away from a no, it's running towards a big yes. It's the same direction, but it has a completely different emphasis. Let me give you an example that I heard somebody use. I have no concern that my eye is going to wander onto somebody else because I have an incredible, beautiful wife. Amen? Amen. She'll speak to me afterwards. And all my effort, all my time, all my desire, all my want goes into loving Claire. There's no space for anything else. There needs to be because I put all my effort into loving Claire. I'm running towards the idea of loving my wife, not away from anybody else. Anybody else. Do you get it? You can run away from, I've got to watch these foreign idols. You know, that's good, but it's never as strong as to running towards God. I'm putting all my time, not in keeping away from those things, but in running towards Him. I've got no energy for those things anymore. Having a big yes to God. Having a big yes to God. If I spend too much time thinking about keeping away from the thing that I've identified as a foreign God, then I'm in danger of going back to it. I found a scripture. It's always good, isn't it? Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. That was the fiery furnace. My God is well able, but if the promises don't come, it's not going to rock me. But having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, this is it, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. So if they'd looked back, if they'd thought about where they'd come from, if they'd said, I'm going to keep away from that, they'd have opened up a pathway to go back to it. And isn't it interesting? God says, but because they didn't, I'm now not ashamed when they call me their God. You can reverse that. There are times when God may be ashamed when you call Him your God. When I saw that, I went, ouch. I've written this random. I can obey God but not love Him. I cannot love God and not obey Him. I have no idea where that fits. I just wrote it. It's a random point. Anyway, let's keep back on it. Therefore, let's just read again. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, if they'd thought about it, then they would have had an opportunity to go back. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Sometimes the analogies the Bible used to describe things are so simple, we miss them completely. Or this has become such a well-known point, so overemphasized or even badly used, that it's lost its power. Our relationship with God looks just like a relationship. Let me tell you what I did recently, and you may have done a similar thing with people you were in relationship with. It could be your parents, your brother or sister, or even your good friends. For me, I did it with Claire. We talked about spending more time together. We talked about what that would look like, how we would have fun, how we might learn together, do a hobby together. We set some plans and some thoughts out. Here is the revelation I found. It's no different with God. For me and God to develop a relationship, we need to spend time together. Please don't switch off right now in something that you have heard, probably if you've been a Christian or in church all your life, all your life. Because in the overemphasizing or in the misusing, we've lost the power in cultivating a relationship with Jesus. And you know what? There are no surprises. Read your Bible. It's a huge revelation. You may not have heard this before, but you want a relationship with him, read your Bible. I recently got, it was quite interesting, a certain translation that says, we correctly handle the word of God. I thought, that's quite a statement. For me, it's the New King James. That is the word of God. Read your Bible. I mean, sometimes I listen to myself and I listen to some of you, so it's both of us, and I think, gosh, have we read our Bibles? Seriously. What else? This is groundbreaking stuff. I could sell this. Pray. Here's one that I think we need to do more. Learn to sit in the presence of God and enjoy him for no other reason than that. Next, hang around godly people. It's so simple. The problem is, I think that it's been used badly to demonstrate you are leading a godly life. The problem is that if you're doing some of these things outside, no, I'm going to move on. I don't know what I wrote there. Sometimes they're used badly, and it becomes, right, to be good, I've got to read the Bible. And it becomes a work. The trouble is, when I have a relationship with God, I want to do certain things. It follows from that way. And the trouble is then people come in and they see what we're doing and say, ah, this is what a Christian looks like. And they do the acts without having the revelation of who he is. There are other ways you can get to know Christ. But the point is, reading the Bible, praying, spending time with God comes from a revelation of who he is. Otherwise, it's just works. It's just works. Seek to change. How else? How many of us know those areas we or God need to work on? How many of us know those areas that are a little out of balance? They can range from spiritual disciplines to simply something that has caught our eye. How many of us would nod and agree we spend too much time on social media, too much time looking at screens, too much time just locked away to myself? Or what about sins? I'm now not going to mention sex, murder, or theft. How about I know I judge people's hearts? Oh, Lord, I get jealous. Lord, I carry envy. Father, I struggle to forgive. What about those things? How about our idiosyncrasies? I know I worry too much. I know I can have an obsessive nature. I know I get moody. These are examples. Yesterday, we spent some time with some really, really dear friends. We were supposed to do it on the 28th, but they were ill, so we did it yesterday. And we do it every year. And last year, there was a group of us, there was about 8 of us. We all got together, and nobody will recognize this in me, so this will be new to all of you. But I was on one. I was just not happy. I was just moody. I know it's a shock. And then they all got out their guitars and they started to sing Kumbaya, and it bugged me. I'm going to be honest, it bugged me. And they're all in this room and I stood in the doorway with my arms crossed. Yeah, because I kind of knew I should be in because I'm kind of a spiritual pastor. So I kind of should be here, but it bugged me. And I could see Claire like glaring at me, say, you wait till we have a conversation. This was last year. See, I've done some contemplating. That's why I can tell you now. And the guy who was playing the guitar was kind of over the door, so I couldn't come in. So I thought, I must come in, but I couldn't. I mean, we laugh. I physically couldn't. I was in such a mood, I couldn't. So I finally came in, I sat there with my arms crossed as they all sang Kumbaya. They didn't. And I ruined it. I ruined the time that should be nice. And maybe you've had different examples of that, but what's that about then, Lord? Because that's not from you. And actually then, I need to work that out. Yesterday we had a great time. I sang Kumbaya. Well, I didn't. I was in the room and I smiled. They got the guitars out again. You know, I've grown. Claire's laughing because she said it's true. Do you know, when we did the 18th of December, I told a story. This isn't a story. This is true. Some of us identify these things and seek to do something about them. We receive prayer. We talk to others. We seek medical help sometimes. But for some of us, we might nod and agree, you know what I'm like. But do nothing about it. A big one, especially of a different generation, but it's how much time we spend on social media. Most of the people I speak to go, yes, I agree, and do nothing about it. It's not that social media is bad, it's that it's taken the wrong place in your life. Some people will then, I'm taking the whole of January off, I'm not going on Facebook. And it's like, well, that's great, but then what happens in February? Do you go back to normal? It's not that Facebook is bad. It's the place it occupies in our lives. For some of you, it'll be something else. In closing, well, kind of. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. You cannot truly profess to love God and not have it show up in how you treat all people. Let me say that again. You cannot truly profess to love God and not have it show up in how you treat all people. The danger is we seek to cultivate a life that loves God with everything within us, but we become inward looking. In our churches, we develop programs and teachings all to support what's going on inside. And because it's an incredible time, I sat there and I loved what God was doing. God was speaking to me on the inside. I could feel that he was speaking to most of the church and I loved it. And I could have stayed there. And it caused me to pray and I loved what was going on. But it mustn't stay in. There must be an outward expression to the inward transformation. This expresses itself in several ways. And I can think that an individual Christian should express them in every way towards others. It's believing the best of other people. It's laying down one's life for your friends. It is showing love to an enemy or someone you simply don't get along with. Because let's face it, we wouldn't call anybody an enemy, but there's a person who bugs me. It's speaking the truth in grace. It's seeking to better the lives of others. It is standing up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. There may be more. It's not an exhaustive list. It's what I could think of at 6:15 this morning. But all of this needs to come from a foundation of love in God. It needs to come from that point. Just as you can obey God but not love him, you can do all of these things from another foundation. You can find someone who does these things and you won't necessarily go back and find God in their lives. But you cannot find someone who has God in their lives and does not seek to work out loving people in this way. It doesn't match up. You don't love God. Where's the scripture? 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So what am I saying? I don't know. What part of you do you need to give to God more? And what does it look like? What might you need to lay down? And what might you need to take up? Is God really the center of your life? Or does God evolve around your universe? Now, depending on your lens, some of you might have heard that I'm saying it's all about works. I've got to work at being this. I've got to work it out. And it's the works that mean I'm there. No. I believe the works view is a mindset or an attitude. I've got to do these things. No, we don't. I have a relationship with Christ. It leads me to behave this way. I must do more to be a good Christian. I must obey the rules. I must work harder. It's not about that. It's not that at all. It's not that I mustn't disobey God. It's out of a relationship. I don't want to disappoint God. I want to do whatever I can to please Him. And that looks like something. Do you know this love? It demands our life. This love, it demands our all. And if I can ask the band to come back up now and just prepare in our last song. While no greater act was ever or will ever be done than that of Jesus, fully man, taking the weight of the world's sin and paying that debt for us, we have been set free from the sin nature in our lives. If I read the epistles, I see churches desperately wanting to grapple with this incredible life. Just listen to me now. If I read the epistles, I see churches desperate to grapple with this huge life, this huge thing that demands everything within me. And they're saying, Lord, how do I do it? I've got to give everything, but I still fall short. And God says, yes, that's where I want you. Now come, son. Now that I'm your only God, now that you're seeking to love me with everything, let's walk. Let's walk. This love demands your life, demands your soul, demands your all. The band's going to play a song. I just want you to sit and just reflect and just enjoy God as they sing this incredible song. Maybe you'll start to assess, Lord, where am I? I stood. What do I now need to do now that I said I'll give you my all? What does it look like, Father? What things do I need to turf out? What have I let creep into my life? Father, because I want you to have all. Thank you.